We're going to go ahead and get started with respect to everyone's time. Now we have a quorum, so we can go ahead and get started this afternoon. First up, we have a presentation of the Ethical Practices Board annual report. And I believe Audrey, you're going to please do that.
I'll do that. Thank you. I just want to start by thanking you for your time on your agenda for today. I do appreciate your interest. As you may know, this is our seventh year of the Ethical Practices Board, which was started in 2008. We started 2015 with members Jay Batchelder, Joe Toole, Steve Thompson, myself, and one vacancy. Then in January, Anna Henderson joined our group. She was appointed to fill the vacancy. And in June, Ostergoose was appointed to Mr. Thompson's term that expired in April. In June, I was re-elected as chair. Joe Toole was re-elected as vice chair. And Kay Batchelder was re-elected as secretary. At our meetings, Mr. Atkins brings a summary of the informal inquiries he's received from department heads or other employees or volunteers, city officials, whoever. Most of those are just wondering if there's a potential conflict of interest, either financial or through their voluntary work, or could be involved with their work for the city. He shares the general information with us, and then we discuss it. He lets us know if there's potential conflict of interest or what his answer was. So that's very helpful for our education and discussion as we talk about those things. So we appreciate his advice as always. There are some of those examples in the report, page 8 and 9 there. Also in the minutes and on the website for the ethical practice. We had two formal complaints in 2015, but both of those were not within the scope of our board. They actually had to do with state-run facilities. Had nothing to do with the city. So we didn't have any other formal complaints besides those two. We did make some changes on the website, and we added some information to that. There was some confusion, evidently, that we had heard about, that there was about the confidentiality when you submit, or when a complainant would submit a form. So we changed that to clarify that the board does not divulge the information, but that the complainant can distribute any information that they want to if they choose to do so. And then we also clarified that our board meetings are not held in private, they're open to the public. Another slight change we made this year was on the conflict of interest disclosure form that the board members and volunteers, city people, sign when they begin the year. And all we did on there was we changed the format to separate the questions a little bit. We changed the questions for city employees and another little section for volunteers, just to clarify what we meant by what we were asking. And that's included in the report, too. So that was about our year. It's been a good year. I've enjoyed being the chair of the committee again, and look forward to another year.
Okay.
Any questions?
Thank you. Having been a former member of that group, it's a great group, and some really interesting topics sometimes that you wouldn't anticipate. So I always found it pretty interesting. Mr. City Attorney, since you're the advisor to that group, any particular comments you'd like to add, or any particular areas of question that seem to come before the board that are
freebies?
I'm sorry.
Freebies.
Yes.
That's as Audrey mentioned. The board asks that I give a summary of the types of inquiries I have received, so that the board has an idea as to what some of the issues are out there, and I do so without divulging specifics, names, and otherwise identifying information. And the most common inquiry I continue to receive is, can I keep fill in the blank that somebody gave me? And usually that somebody is a vendor or somebody who wants to do business with the city. So it continues to be an issue amongst the city employees and the city officials. And thus far, we haven't had any major incidents involving freebies. I tell people you can't keep it, you return it, or you pay for it, and that tends to be followed through.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other questions or comments, Mr. Ruskin?
I want to thank you for your report and for your leadership. You mentioned that the meetings are open, and I'm just drawing a blank here. Is there a place that those are posted so people are aware of them, or how?
They're on the website.
Is it on the website? I can't remember.
And then when we have a meeting, we decide when the next meeting is going to be. It's not regular, but every 1 to 6 weeks, 8 weeks sometimes. And if there's nothing, we cancel the meetings and wait, but they are posted on the website.
Okay, so it's on the city portal meeting site. Okay,
city,
it's
yeah.
calendar. Okay, all right. That's good.
Is it also posted out on the...
It's also posted on the bulletin board where all the city meetings are posted.
Okay.
Post.
Oh, okay.
Good enough. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else?
Forget all my meeting and posted.
Just a, me. Just a question. Thank you, Audrey, for what you do. When you mentioned the meetings were open, then you still keep the names confidential?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a tricky... The law, the legislature hasn't put us in a very good position. They have stated that you cannot close a meeting just because you're discussing private data. So we have to play a little bit of a charade when we're discussing a complaint, and the board will say, well, I'm looking at page 3, paragraph 2, and I find the following, as opposed to trying to give specific discussion information, because the data is private, but the meeting is open to the public.
Is the complaint ever in the room?
It's up to the complainant. Because it's an open meeting, they have every right to be there.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? All right. Well, thank you once again. And
thanks.
We hope you have an uneventful year.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Thank you. Moving on to our next item is a consideration of an inclusionary housing policy consulting proposal. The agenda says not yet received, but we did get that on Friday afternoon.
It's been added to the agenda packet.
It was added to the packet, and so it was available for distribution. So hopefully all the council members have it. Who is going to lead us through that? Any comments? Anyone here to speak to that?
I can just start out on, at your April 4th meeting on, you talked about housing, and as a result of that, you instructed me to contact Cornerstone to solicit a proposal that would involve the development of a proposed inclusionary housing policy for your further consideration. So I did contact an individual. I think Michael contacted the same one. So that came in a little bit after noon on Friday. I wasn't here on Friday, but I did send it to Lisa, and I think she added that to you later, and so I don't have anything to add other than that it's before you because you asked for something to be submitted to you for your discussion and consideration.
All right.
Has everyone had a chance to read it?
I didn't see it. Just now pulled up. Okay. So,
Mr. Hickey?
So, I guess I'm trying to remember exactly what we came up with. There was some mention of some text amendments, and you had brought up, and we said, well, we want some more discussion of this, and I thought that's what we were going to flesh out. I think, before we hire a consultant to do kind of a broader inclusionary housing policy, I think we kind of need to agree on a framework of what we're looking for before we hire a consultant. The last meeting, we talked a lot about how the city's done quite a bit with TIF over the last 30 years, so I haven't heard the step that kind of connects us to we need to do something different or better. And again, maybe I'm just remembering it wrong. So I just think by the time you hire a consultant to kind of flesh out your policy, you're heading down that road already. And I didn't think we were there yet, but someone else may have remembered it differently.
Can I clarify the text amendment issue?
Sure.
A council member Campion made a motion at the last council meeting, I think, under other business, and it had to deal with that handout,
with
listed a number of sections that could be changed rather easily. And the consensus and the motion as adopted was, rather than initiate those text amendments at this time, we, the council, would like to see a concrete proposal as to what these sections do and what might be accomplished by any amendment to them. And that's separate and apart from the inclusionary zoning issue. And you passed that motion, and staff now, I assume, is working on bringing back to you for more formal consideration, potential text amendment initiations.
Right, that sounds good. That's what I remember.
Okay. There were three actions that we took at the end of the last meeting. That was one of the three actions. The other two were to come back and initiate the work on the inclusionary zoning. And the third one was to formally bless staff being involved with the RAF efforts to work on the broader issue. So this is one of the three, but not the one that Nick started.
All right. Other questions, comments?
I would just say that this is exactly what I was looking for. I mean, it spells it out in great detail, and I understand Mr. Rusk hasn't read it yet, but he'll have an opportunity to do so. And there's the only kind of in the range where we expected it to fall in terms of the cost, but also there's one optional step that they recommend. I think it's like $2,200 or something, $2,400. And I assume, Mr. Atkins, you've had a chance to review that?
Have you? I don't know that this has been submitted to
okay.
me for review, no.
All right. Well, the one optional one that they put in there is there's a optional task of consultation with city staff and legal counsel on ordinance development, which I would be pretty strongly in favor of including that. And that the total cost of having them make the recommendations for give us an ordinance to look at would be $32,400.
I'll offer up a comment. I'm probably differ with you on the inclusion of the option at this point. As I read through what they would potentially do, they would update the research, work with stakeholders. They were actually proposing creating an advisory group mm-hmm. to help them work through this. And then they very clearly say in their scope is that we acknowledge that the policymakers may choose not to pursue inclusionary housing, that there may not necessarily be further steps, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's why they purposely listed that as an optional. Mm-hmm. So I would agree that we might want to go through, if we pursue this, we might want to go through that exploratory stage before we decide, yes, we actually, and I thought that's what Mr. Hickey was talking about. How do we know if we actually need to develop something or what its context might be? So I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I'm not sure that I would commit to it right out of the gate is all the optional item. Mr. Campy.
I share a bit of a concern with Councilmember Hickey about the council driving it toward a destination a little bit and picking out what a rough framework would look like, at least in terms of, you know, maybe some other ordinances that we could point them toward that say we could get behind an ordinance like X. And so one of the alternatives I had been kicking around is, does it make sense to have staff now bring back as part of maybe a memo some of the other options that are out there, other communities that we could throw around a little bit and say this one looks like something the council will support. You know, does this work in our community? Is it help to feed that into the process versus waiting for this process to get pretty far down the rails and then have to get everyone on board with whatever comes out of the pipeline here?
I read that as being item number one in the timeline to be covered in May. I just assumed that would be included in that.
Okay. I didn't see, I mean, I saw that some council members were being involved and they had kind of put together 8 to 12 representatives. I'm not sure if that's seven council members and five other people or how, if we have a different composition, but what that looks like going forward. I think part of it is, and frankly, this goes broader with a lot of the other commissions we have as well, making sure that we're setting them up to succeed a little bit by making sure that the council has kind of weighed in on what the objective is, and mm-hmm. this is the target. Inclusionary housing, as you well know, can mean has a huge spectrum of what that means in different communities in terms of how they actually enact it. I'm getting a signal from you that you're disagreeing. Inclusionary housing can be implemented in a number of ways.
Well, it's whether
incentive-based, non-incentive-based, subsidized, non-subsidized. I mean, there's a lot of factors that can come into play here. My statement is simply the council, by setting the domain of possible options beforehand instead of waiting to see what the result is, may be a benefit.
Okay.
Another observation I made as I was looking at the engagement of stakeholders, that particular step, and I know it calls out city staff, and I this is a question for the council, given, and I realize what our domain is, but given the impact of something like this, should we be including like HRA or even some county staff as we go through this process?
And Cornerstone's already been involved with not only those entities, but a lot of the development community in Rochester as well, as part of the Maxfield work. So I assume that would continue.
Yeah, I guess though I was going further than that. I'll be more direct. Should the county board also be a participant in this sort of exploration of policy and so forth, especially as it relates to some of their communities? And, you know, possibly, you know, because there's going to be a price tag for some of this that's going to impact countywide. And I realize we're the biggest fish in that pond, but still, I'm also wondering what our impact is.
I assume our impact would be citywide for our policy. But, you know, when item number one, which they hope to do in May, would be potential stakeholders, including local housing developers, local housing advocates, neighborhood association, leaders, city staff, and elected officials, and I guess I see the HRA as also being a local housing developer. So, but I completely agree that those groups should be involved.
Mr. Ruska,
a lot of the foundation of this is going to determine which direction it goes. So, when I see 8 to 12 representative stakeholders, I guess I'm wondering who selects those 12 and how are they determined, or 8 to 12, or how many they are, and who approves it, and who. Is there a process? And we have put in place a lot of processes now for other things. But who gets put on this is kind of a, diverse perspectives, agreed, but to what direction? So I guess I'm kind of wondering what kind of process we would do to get to that point. And again, I'm just looking at this from the end.
I just would assume that if you would proceed, then you could call the shots on you approving the development of any of, or the membership of any advisory board. I just may speak a little bit about the application, just citywide or countywide. I do see some advantages in having it countywide. I don't know that just the city of Rochester should be the recipient or the provider of affordable housing. I mean, probably some of the other cities in the county should have some of the same requirements for affordable housing that the city of Rochester may.
We don't control that, though.
Well, the county could develop an inclusionary housing policy also, I suppose.
I'm not aware of that's a typical role for counties. Are you familiar with counties when they do this?
I don't know.
This is universally a city responsibility.
I just don't think. It's just
that the first entity that ever adopted one was Columbia County, Maryland.
Yeah.
Well, Maryland's a different structure.
Well, you're right. I'm just pointing out it was a county.
All of the policies in Minnesota are city-based. As far as I know, I think they're all city-based.
Ms. Means.
I think the county should be invited to participate because it benefits the county very much as they deal with people that are having difficulty with housing issues and placing people who have that great need for some stability and lessen the mobility of their children going to different schools, just changing homes quite often. So it seems to me that we can ask, even though it might not be something we've done in the past, it seems appropriate to at least invite them.
So, you know, we're going to meet with the county on this very topic in a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks?
The 9th of May.
Is this a topic?
And the topic's housing.
For that?
Well, not necessarily. I think it's affordable housing, generally. Inclusionary just came up in terms of, I think, the Greater Minnesota Housing Fund has done a lot of work with Cornerstone on inclusionary housing policy, and that's how it came about on the 4th of your discussion on the 4th of April.
I really like the idea of inclusionary housing, and then we have a better opportunity to interact with different people and improve our comfort level with people that are from different parts of the United States, different parts of the world, and also people of different economic status. What's the pearl of status? Statuses? I don't know, that sounds wrong, but anyway, I think it's a benefit to do that. I'm so concerned about stockpiling folks that are under the medium income basis and putting them all in one particular section. I think we need to integrate our community so that we'll have some opportunities that perhaps we do not have now.
So this policy came from the recommendation to pursue this came from Greater Minnesota Housing Finance, the Rochester Area Foundation, and the HRA. They're all behind this, and I think you raised a lot of questions, but part of the reason that we're hiring an expert on this is we don't have anyone here locally that's an expert on this. Nobody.
I would agree with that. I guess if you did go down that road, right now the planning staff, of course, has a hard time keeping up with the demands that you do place upon them with the their staffing levels, so I don't think there's the staff capacity to pursue this at the current time.
They were going to pursue, though, a position on the bonuses. They were going to at least provide a report on that.
And that work can go on in parallel there.
Mr. Hickey?
Yeah, I would just echo what Mr. Campion said. I mean, I think that makes a lot of good sense. So before we ask them to develop a policy, there's got to be some good examples out there. Here's one that we like. It's got a lot of the elements. Someone should be able to pitch this. It doesn't have to be this consultant. Someone must have a model in mind, someplace that's worked successfully. It's something that we know what we're shooting for. And if we had a couple different policies we could look at and say, here's the elements of this we like, here's the elements of that we like, that's kind of where we're headed. Then it might be an appropriate time to hire a consultant to work out the details. But I don't think we really, I certainly don't know where we're going yet.
Can we include that in the section one of this particular contract?
Are they working for free? I mean, I don't think we're ready to hire a consultant until we know what we want.
Who's going to bring you what you want?
Well,
I mean, Cornerstone is the people to do this.
No one has the expertise to look up a few other examples. So I assume there's other examples out there.
Minneapolis.
Okay. So if no one has the expertise to do that, then maybe it's not such a great idea. I mean, how hard can it be to pull up a few examples of things that we're shooting for? These are the elements we like here. This other city has got just nailed it. I mean, before you hire a consultant, you better know where you're going.
So here's the thing. We've been screwing around on affordable housing. November of 2014, we were supposed to have an affordable housing plan. We are now more than 18 months out. How much longer do we want to keep dragging our feet?
Until we have an idea where we're going. So you can pound on the table, but it doesn't make it.
Well, and I'm asking for three other council members to help get this work moving.
On the title page here of this, it has their mailing address is Portland, Oregon. I think they're Minneapolis, or is this a different? Is this Grounded Solutions Network?
I think they're a subsidiary or a contractor for Cornerstone, from my understanding.
But they're out of Portland, Oregon.
And I suppose
that says from mailing address. So.
I thought the one that Sasha was in Oakland, California.
Well, yeah, it looks like
there's an Oakland office too, but it says their mailing address is Portland, Oregon. So yeah. I guess to me that
the one I contacted was Oakland.
Well, it says in their opening sentence that if this helps at all, that Grounded Solutions is a national nonprofit formed by a recent merger of Cornerstone and National Community Land Trust Network. Mr.
Let me just pose a question to you with the HRA. At one time, the city of Rochester had a housing and redevelopment authority. Of course, they got into urban renewal in the 60s and they abolished the HRA, and then they came back in the early 70s and reestablished city of Rochester HRA. And then we had that, and then we merged with the county, so now you have a countywide HRA that supposedly takes care of the housing recommendations and policy for the county, including the city of Rochester. So couldn't you, as the local governing body of Rochester, rely a little bit upon Olmsted County HRA to inform you and educate you on this particular policy and whether or not it's something then that you should proceed with? I mean, to a certain extent, I would think that responsibility falls a little bit to the Olmsted County HRA.
We have a recommendation from them 2 weeks ago to proceed with this.
Well, maybe they should educate the council on just what it means. If they know, if they make a recommendation, they should know just what it means for the city of Rochester. And I don't think you've seen that. And what sort of regulations would you have to adopt to do that? Maybe they should bring that forth.
There's a requirement for a portion of affordable housing with development.
But I do think there's a bunch of options that you may exercise in the formulation of your policy. And I do think that, obviously, I don't think there's any great knowledge of just what that is. I don't have any, and I don't know what was possessed by the rest of the members of the governing body.
Had a bunch of experts here last week to ask those questions to.
Well, you can also understand that writing on a slide, adopting an inclusionary housing policy, is not a prescription for what to do.
But to bring in a consultant to help educate, inform us, and prepare a policy.
And I think all you're hearing, is you're presenting a false dichotomy. That okay. The only option is moving forward today with exactly what we have, or killing it. And that what you're hearing is, we would like to have some additional information so that we're all comfortable moving forward.
Very well said.
Okay. And ultimately, when? When do we move forward?
Sandra?
Well, it sounds like, you know, I think just the term inclusionary housing is something that I feel very strongly about. However, I like Mr. Pringle's suggestion is maybe to talk to the HRA. In fact, I think we should include, I mentioned earlier that we should include or invite the county into these discussions. But outside of that, perhaps we do need to hear from the HRA. Furthermore, the coalition, the Greater Minnesota Housing Board has been a very strong, in a strong position for housing, and they're funded by Blandon McKnight Foundation and others, and the Land Trust, which has been very successful here in Rochester. So what are they? I mean, they were here last time, so they are certainly in agreement with this, but it sounds like it's not going to go very far right now until we get a little bit more information.
Yeah. Well, I would just ask that the council members write down what that information is so we can get them answered in a more expedient way than waiting another 18 months
this. I think there's a lot of information on inclusionary.
Yeah. I mean, the National League of Cities, League of Minnesota Cities, has a ton.
Yeah,
and it's out there for anyone who wants to look.
I think the staff can provide you with information in 2 weeks to give you. I know there's some things out there that says pros and cons of inclusionary zoning.
Okay, I've got Mr. Campion, then Mr. Vildebeck.
That I guess that would be my request is that, one, I want to reiterate that I'm committed to doing something to address the problem that we have as a community. So no one should spin this as if somebody's backing down from a commitment to do this for the community. And second, I would say staff, and in particular planning staff, would just happen to fortunately be here today, fortuitously, I'm sure, that we re-engage about getting a memo to us that lists, you know, maybe if there are particularities that we should know about for Olmsted and Rochester that don't apply to other communities in Minnesota, and then maybe a short survey of what other policies have been done in Minnesota so that we can take a look. Because it is, part of this is coming up to speed on all of this, and what was included in the packet was a single consultant's proposal, and frankly, there's a lot there to digest already, but if we can get those two pieces of information
I think we'll send you a packet.
Well, would you want to talk about it with the county? I mean, you're going to talk housing with the county board, so maybe that would be the logical topic on the 9th of May.
I'd like to have it before we go to the county, because I would like to make sure that it's clear that the city's working on this. I don't want it to seem, and I can see how it can be presented, that we're not moving forward on this, but let's keep the ball rolling, and we come back with that information. I think we should be ready to act on this and set parameters for how we're going to move forward.
Just a quick aside, and I realize this company might be a good one, but we were just chastised in the last meeting for not making a more deliberate effort to make sure that we're looking at women and minority-owned businesses in terms of soliciting proposals and so forth. Just an aside, Mr. Bildebeck.
I do believe that we should get the packet information before we meet with the county. But my question then, Stephen, are you going to make sure the HRA is represented at the May 4th
The May 9th, yeah.
May 9th meeting, so that we can have those discussions, because I do believe that Michael brings up a valid point when we talk about things have a tendency to fall off the table. And we need to keep bringing these back, and we need to set timelines and deadlines with these things when we do it. I believe that everybody wants to make an honest effort here to make sure that this works, but I think we need to make sure we check out what options are out there. So I believe we should get the packet as soon as we can, and then we should make sure that the HRA is represented the night. That gives us an opportunity to go through the packet and come up again. Michael talked about some questions that we have, valid questions to ask. That way we'll be better educated and we can do that.
We can get you some background information. We wouldn't be able to reproduce what this $30,000 proposal would do.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying that if we can get information to give us some heads up, some knowledge base about what's out there and how it works, maybe if, as Mr. Hickey said, if there's some example policies out there that other cities are doing, ordinances other cities are doing, that would give us an opportunity to read it, be able to digest it, and come up with some questions that we could talk to the HRA about to see, is the HRA covering what we need to do, or do we need to take it one step further and make our own ordinance? But again, I think we need to make sure we get that in plenty of time so we can sit down and look at it and be ready and prepared to have a good discussion with the HRA on the 9th. Mr. Campion.
So I guess I think we can, as staff, is that enough time to pull together?
Yeah, you're not asking us to analyze it. You're asking us to get information on ordinances, Minnesota inclusionary zoning ordinances, and some of the other research that's available online about, you know, what has happened in places that have done this and that kind of thing. So let's get you some information.
Can you schedule a discussion for May 2nd? We should have materials ready for you by then. We also already have a draft response to the potential changes to the incentive development that we just need to finish up, so we can bring those two items together. And, you know, if you should decide at some point that you want to proceed with having consulting services develop some options for you, I would suggest you look at some Minnesota firms too, because the Minnesota statute is very unique. And having somebody from California, I talked to the folks from Cornerstone, having them come in and just make some suggestions about what might work here might overlook those other pieces. The fact that they didn't have consultation with legal staff, our staff, in as an essential component to what they were doing, suggests that they might come forward with some things that might not fit our local statutes.
So, a couple things about that. First of all, you're going to want not only the existing policies, because that's pretty much Minneapolis, but you're going to want the draft policies for. You're going to want the draft policies for a lot of the inner range suburbs that are looking at this right now. And you know, to Mitzi's point, Cornerstone is the one who's working on all these current ones that are being done in Minnesota. So they're very familiar with the unique state statutes, which limit some of the options that we have. And I don't think there's anyone locally in the state of Minnesota qualified to do this either.
All right. Other questions, comments, where would you like to go?
I think we've set the direction.
So, yeah, I think we have it in terms of following what some of you have said here. So.
Some additional information.
Now, do you want it back at the committee hold before the 9th, or we just make sure you got the information before the 9th?
9th or 2nd?
The joint meeting is the 9th.
But the joint meeting, the city council doesn't take action at. That's informational.
No, but if you just want this information prior to having that meeting, we can make sure you have it. That you don't probably need to discuss it before you go to the board, county board, do you?
We can get it.
I guess that's a question.
The second.
Perfect. Okay, good.
The key thing is it pushes it back another half month if we don't act on the 2nd.
Well, oh wait, no. So do you want to talk with the county board on the 9th or not? So,
right.
So if that's the case, then the 2nd is not that critical.
We'll
for action.
We'll get it to the whole,
we can do it. But.
Right. I'd like to have, I want some time to digest it because it's a complex topic. It's going to take some time.
So we're not, you mentioned that you would have different options on what are being used, but this includes, like Nick said, all the different levels of it, too.
We can maybe point out what are some differences in them, but we're not going to probably have time to do a thorough analysis. But you'll get, at least you'll know a lot more about inclusionary zoning than you do now, because there's information out there.
Right, but I just don't want it to be just about inclusionary zoning. I want it to be about different options that we have as far as incentives, because, you know, that's very appealing too, is the incentive.
No, I don't think we're going to go there, hopefully.
And
I think in the incentives, or basically my analysis, what they wanted you to do is do away with the incentives other than you're going to give somebody a density bonus. It's only for affordable housing. I don't know if you're going to have an incentive that's left standing on that list. But
inclusionary zoning and incentives are both critically important, and one does not necessarily have anything to do with the other. They're two separate parallel paths.
Well, that's what I think. So we wouldn't be looking at the incentives at this point in time.
You're giving a density bonus, and you're keeping it to just affordable.
Incentives make inclusionary zoning more viable, more economical.
Right. You're liking them there.
And whatever memo is coming back about the incentives is coming before the second as well, we think.
Yeah.
Perfect. I just want to make sure we have all this moving forward, because I do agree. It can feel like a lot gets put on back burner, and we're running out of back burners, and we need to get some stuff done. Mm-hmm.
We do need to see what we can pull together. As Gary said, at least we'll be more informed. Hopefully we have two more meetings before our joint meeting with the county board, 25th and the 2nd. So certainly May 2nd, we could target to have some additional discussion. Anyone else?
Okay.
All right. Good deal. As I said, I just started to comment on next week. Topic is neighborhood meetings, proposed ordinance, and the sidewalk improvement district. I believe that's going to be ready. So that's on our agenda for next committee of the whole.
Mr. Staver, yes, I did send you a note earlier today. We had planned to meet with the Neighborhood Council on Neighborhoods this week, so that we'd be prepared for that discussion next week. They delayed their meeting. So I'm suggesting that we move that discussion to May, because we won't be able to meet with them until May.
All right, I'll take a look at that email, see if we can find something. May 2nd is already shaping up to be a busy agenda. We've got some options. Well, yeah, we don't get another option really until the 16th of May.
Which would be better timing.
Did you happen to see, we had talked about the building, the rental ordinance. When was that scheduled to come back?
Good question. Mr. Johnson,
do you remember when that was coming back?
Sometime second quarter. We've just done a comparison with other cities, like State Paul, City of Hopkins. It's going to require a total rewrite of our housing code and probably go to the property maintenance code.
Can you bring back at, within the near future where we're at with that, so again, that we don't forget about it and keep it moving? And please keep it fresh on the mind of the council members.
Mr. Russell.
Can we, in looking at these meetings for the second, rather than dump a bunch of stuff on there and have a light vote on the 25th, is there any of those departments that can move up from the 2nd to the 25th? We have fire, emergency management, we have HR, and we have city clerk, all three scheduled for the 2nd. Right.
I know, Stephen, you worked with the department heads.
Yeah.
City clerk, can you go early?
Sure.
All right, so you could go next week on the 25th?
Yep.
Perfect. That helps.
Okay. The one moved up.
Let's try and just move all the department reviews that night. I mean, that's part of it, is we can probably go through those, because it's an off-council night. There's no council, right? Or there's no full meeting, so we can probably go
just over. Just they're ready in time, but, you know, kind of a short notice. But if we can do that, that balances out.
Well, you want me to check on some other ones? For the
If you could, HR.
Okay.
Or fire department, either one.
Okay.
Or both. Because right now all we have is the sidewalk improvement district for next week.
That's going to be very substantial. You have the city clerk, then on the 25th, and look at some other ones.
Yes.
One through the second.
Balance it out a little bit. All right. Anything else for the meeting?
I do have a question on your topics here that we're going to discuss at the Committee of the Whole. Now, I did watch the streaming today on the BNC, and there was quite a discussion on the women and black minority enterprise. And you have it down for the first quarter, and I think, you know, at some point this should come as a priority, since it has been sitting on the agenda for a while. I don't know, Mr. Newman, if you're ready to share information yet, but I think, you know, it's past the first quarter.
We have, I can give you a brief update, but we have some, actually we're going to be meeting with a couple of four agencies or five agencies in the city. We're trying to set meetings up just to find out what has really worked for them well. We've been planning that for a while now, so we're just trying to get dates. So we probably have better information after that. I mentioned at today's meeting. Going through this process for the transit studies, parking, TMA study, and all those, the Public Works Department has gone through the process of identifying. These are very large companies usually that are going to head those studies. And one of the requirements they'll have for those studies before we'll enter into a contract, they'll all have to meet the WMBE requirements as a 4% minority contractor, 4% minority, 6% women employment goals. So that's one of the things we're working on. So I don't know if I can be ready in a couple of weeks, but it'd be kind of nice to have some of those other meetings that we're going to done. I think we can do it pretty soon. I don't know if we can do it in 2 weeks. So I'd say within the next month we should be able to.
Just don't like to slip down too far.
No, I understand. And I think that'd be fine. It's something we've been discussing and we've been working on. But we have to kind of get some of those things organized, and those meetings would be good to be, have them and have them over with.
Is there, maybe you're talking about the same thing, but is there any chance to get an update on the supplier diversity initiative? I know that's been...
Well, that's coming up this summer. Brent is working on that out of our office, and this is a second one that we'd be involved in. You've approved $5,000 in funding to be one of the, for us to do our job on that. I think it's a contract with ourselves, basically. I think that's what Terry was saying, basically.
But I mean, the important thing of that initiative is it just isn't the city. It's other major vendors and so forth, and how are they, what are they doing to address some of the concerns? So, and I know they've been meeting. We were part of that early on.
Yeah, they've got a broad group. It's Mayo's involved and the chamber's involved. And there's a bunch of folks involved that we'll be putting on this session. One of the things I know Brent and I have been looking into is we buy a lot of our stuff off a state contract. That's where a lot of our supplies come from. And one thing we're checking on is, do they have something on there to encourage WFE suppliers to get on that list, because that would be a much bigger list, than just through the city of Rochester. So that's one thing we're trying to check with the people on the state level about, because there's so much of our, we do construction projects, but beyond that, when we buy supplies, Jenny King would tell you, we buy 80-90% of our stuff off of the state contract. So, for WMB suppliers to kind of work with us on that, their probably best source would be to get them on that state program where they have access to a lot more organizations than just the city of Rochester. So those are a couple of things we're working on.
Do you have any idea if the state is working on a 4-6% participation rate with the contractors or subcontractors?
They do on their transportation projects. I don't know if they do it for everything, Sandra, and they have different percentages based on what area of the state you're in. It's much higher in the Twin Cities area because they have much more, they have a greater, for example, there's only two WMB contractors in southeastern Minnesota that we're aware of that really qualify under that for construction. So basically, if you're going to get them for a construction job like at the Civic Center or Rec Center, which we did do a 4% goal on both of those, and we're over that, by the way, they a lot of them have to come from other areas. So it depends on, that goal is, it varies by area. So there's some more things we can do and more things we can work on. There's a lot of other people that could do a lot more too, particularly on the construction end of it. So those are kind of the things we're working on presently. And I can do a more thorough report, Brent and I can, when we get around. But we're hoping to get these meetings with, we're planning to meet with somebody from St. Paul, Minneapolis, Met Council, somebody worked on the Viking Stadium project, just to find out what suggestions they do. Because there's some things that I mentioned at today's meeting that we've looked into, and that's, do you
obviously, if you sometimes if you break large contracts up into smaller ones, you get a better chance of getting some people that can meet those requirements. And then another big issue for smaller contractors is bonding, because the city, if you get a city contract, you have to be pretty well healed to bond that you get a bond from a company to cover your work. So that's another thing we're checking into. So a lot of things we're checking into, not a lot that are definite yet, but it is something we're working on.
Thanks. Mr. Wojak. I'm making sure we're done with this topic.
I think so.
Okay. I have two items. One, I was going to ask that we direct staff to ensure that there's a maintenance plan for the landscaping in the uptown area. We had a contractor last year who kind of fell apart and really didn't do their job. Already the weeds are starting to come up out there. I was out there checking it out yesterday. My understanding is that our parks department is going to take over in July. There's a lot of time between now and July. And, I just want to make sure somebody has their eye on that and is taking care of that. So any...
I'll check it out.
Any... We're okay with that?
Didn't we have, we put $500,000 in that, didn't we? Don't have somebody accountable to take care of it up to the point where they turn it over?
The low bid contract.
Well,
I have to take it. I don't have the details.
If we paid them, then, right? Did we pay them?
Yeah, he's got a warranty period.
I need to find it out.
Yeah. They're just not a good contractor. In terms of taking care of what he's done. And the other problem, he's leaving us with a huge seed bank for weeds out there because he hasn't done any work with that. So then the other item I had is I want to specifically request, and it could either be for staff here, for Ardell's not here, but for I guess it would be for a representative on the DMC board. I've been going through all of the invoices for the last... For the last set that we're reimbursing some of their expenses, and really three areas that I'm looking for more information on. I'd like to see an hourly breakout on that Himley Wrap contract. I don't think we're getting value for the $16,000 a month that we're paying them, and I'm a little bit skeptical of I'd just like to see the hourly breakout in terms of what they're doing. Second thing I'd like to see an hourly breakout on is their website services. I do see over the weekend they updated the board members, so now they have the correct board on there. But they still have Ardell's name spelt wrong, so baby steps. But that's a fairly significant monthly contract for the amount of activity that's going on that website. And lastly, and Mr. Atkins can correct me if I'm wrong, we as city government do not do sponsorships. We cannot do sponsorships, and yet it would appear that we're reimbursing DMC for sponsorships, which they probably can do, but I just don't like the idea of using taxpayer dollars for sponsorships. So those were the ones that kind of stood out for me of my concerns, but just that's a fairly sizable chunk of monthly money that has gone to those ones.
Can you send an email on that?
Since we've talked about it here, can I send them an email, or do I have to send it to the...
Well, just one-on-one.
You can send it to me, and I'll send it to
okay. All right. I have
then we'll have to determine just, the council approves the total budget. They don't approve line items.
Yep. Understood.
So I don't know how that all fits in.
Understood, but I think identifying these things will quickly lead to some changes.
Well, I think to that point, it'll come up eventually because ultimately we have to establish the budget for next year and years going forward. Obviously, it makes a lot of sense that you'd want to know how the last year's budget was spent. So perhaps getting a more periodic update would be helpful rather than waiting until November and then trying to sort it all out.
We have one scheduled for June, right?
It's good to get the information.
Not that we should wait to address these issues, but by all means, but we do have one coming.
No, I'll get a note out, and we'll give them... If you just want to hold them for a couple of days in case any other council members have comments on them too, we can just put them together. And
yeah, we do have the MC update scheduled for June 27th. Mr. Martinson, you have a comment?
Well, I may issue with that, but I will just speak to the sponsorship discussion just briefly. Mm-hmm. That every time that comes up, when we have reviews of these things, that discussion comes up. And we've asked them to always write exactly what it is they are getting for this payment they make. Because it isn't, the term sponsorship is usually done by wherever they're going because someone else is making a payment and they're getting a tax deductible write-off for it, okay? But the purpose that they spend this money is usually because they put up a booth there and it's an outreach program and it gives them space. And so it's, we try, keep trying to get a change of terminology on their invoicing to say it's an invoice for space and a booth that they're buying at some event or something where they're trying to do an outreach and they're trying to do private learning. So that topic has been well heard a number of times, and we're having an actual separate meeting with DMC Council. And they're really, I'm not sure about how we're invoicing this stuff.
Okay.
So there has not been any outright payment just for a payment of sponsoring some other tax exempt.
Okay.
It's been for some specific purpose that they obtain some space or some initiative as part of their marketing.
I guess my concern would be, I'm glad to hear that, but that's not the way it shows up for us.
I think probably the sponsorship you're talking about is the Rochester Day at the Capitol, mm-hmm. where they did spot, but then they put on programs up there at the same time, I think.
They actually had that in their budget, and they keep trying to get them out of that. It actually says, I don't know, what it's marketing and sponsorship or something.
Well, you know, you're only the assistant treasurer, so maybe the treasurer can take care of it.
All right. Mr. Ruska?
You know, these payment sheets, detailed printouts I've been getting for over a year when I was on the board, and I think that one of the things that we've been looking for, I brought this up before to him several times, is a matrix of some type that shows what our goals and what our results based, and I was told in the last few meetings of last year that they'd be creating a dashboard that we could monitor and measure outcomes based on outcomes and projections and desired outcomes. So hopefully that's coming, and there's going to be some way to measure that a little bit. Also, the EDA is overseeing, board is oversees a lot of those expenditures, and I've shared a little concern on some of those prices that are being paid. I think those are things that we're not negotiating, but at least we can share our concerns over these.
So. All right. So will someone kind of convey this back to the EDA staff?
I will do that.
We're looking
I'll
for some
that.
Additional. Okay.
I'll wait till I get Michael's thing and any of the rest of your
and then send
have.
It to the rest of us. Okay. All right.
So when you said you take care of that, that's removing that sponsorship. Part of that language is
that one's relatively small. I think the
okay, you know, if it might pull up to be a problem later on, and we can address it now.
Well, I think based upon Dale's explanation, I think it's legal.
Might just be a
it's more system. Semantics than anything.
Yeah.
We're gonna leave it.
Well, I think the last question.
We still have these discussions. I mean, again, there's a whole other discussion. Whatever else you're bringing up here, I mean, the other things. Again, not for me to speak to, but there's certainly something that police officer will respond to.
So. Okay, thank you.
All right. Anything else for this afternoon? All right. If not, we are adjourned.
This evening. Before you adjourn, I have one real quick question. Last week, I put the RFPs in your boxes for the armory set, former armory sets, and we'll come up with them, and we'll become back to you on that. But there was one, I sent you an email about there was this one group, they didn't submit a formal proposal, using the template and the whole ball of wax. They just kind of gave us a little background information. It's this Museum of Automotive History.
Yep.
So I just wanted. And so the guy from there is sending me emails, are we under consideration or not? You know, they didn't follow the protocol, so you tell me if you think we even ought to consider them, or should I just tell them, no, you're not in being considered?
I would say that is a non-responsive.
Well, I mean, that's right. I mean, that's true. That's what it was. And I pointed that out to him, but I said, if you want to get it to me, I'll at least forward it to the council. That's where I left it.
I guess my thought would be is, if, are they all exactly perfect? You know, I guess I would think that we could maybe assist him in trying to get...
No, but they didn't get it in time. You know, right. That's the kind of the issue. They just slapped something at the last second. And they don't have any of the details that, you know, you're looking... Well,
I hate to... mean, if it's still not beyond where the decisions are being made, considerations are being made, I guess I would certainly hate to see somebody eliminated if they've got a good idea. But sometimes the ideas aren't always like they're kind of in the process. And
at this point, I will just let this individual know that.
Well, it's not a competitive bid, so it's a little bit of a different animal.
Could be really,
but you didn't answer his question, at least I didn't hear it. Are the other proposals consistent with the requirements?
Well, they at least went through the list of...
Is that a yes? Okay. So that's the answer. This is the only one that was non-responsive to the specifications.
You know, when I saw the automobile history, I thought that would be something really interesting. However, I want to say, since you have already had a closing date and this person doesn't adhere to the requirements, I really feel that he should not, that should not be included, because they missed your schedule.
That's the question I'm asking, yes.
So we have somewhere that states that if you don't get in by this date, it won't be considered. It's on there somewhere.
Yeah, says I mean, that. They sent it in at the last day, but they didn't have it. They didn't complete the...
Oh, we gave an ample notice.
Well, it's been out there for 6 months.
It's coming at the last minute.
The other question, quite frankly, is, I don't understand how the building would work for them if they're, to bring cars and stuff, or are they just bringing, big pictures of cars, vintage cars, or what? I'll talk to the individual before we, and further with them before we commit to saying yes or no.
We're not committed to adopt any of the
submissions,
so there's nothing saying that this is the final time this will be going on.
I will follow back up with the individual tomorrow.
So are you going to give him some additional time, Ben? Is that what I heard?
If he wants to submit something further for your consideration, additional information, that's fine. And as far as I'm concerned, it's your call, not mine.
I've given my opinion already.
Yeah, well, I understand. I know my opinion too, but mine doesn't come up here.
Okay. All right. We're done.
Yeah, so.
Thank you.
You got it?
The rest of them have it. Oh, we got banged against the team.
Yeah, right.